And welcome back to another special episode of the Haptic Experiment. I'm your host, Bruce, and I'm joined on the line by Lux. Lux, how are you now?
And I'm doing good, and it's starting to get a bit warm out here, but I'm managing.
Okay, what does a bit warm mean to you? I'm from Canada, so like my idea of what warm is probably different than yours. So what's warm?
And today it reached 81 degrees. And
81. Okay, hold on. I have to do the math here. 81 Fahrenheit in Celsius makes it 27. Oh yeah. Yeah, like we're 24 here today. 24 Celsius, which would be 75 Fahrenheit. So sorry, I don't do Fahrenheit very readily.
Yeah.
I'm starting to figure it out. But anyway, okay, well, yeah. 27 is warm.
Yeah.
And
add that on top of, and like there was literally no wind. The air was just dry today.
Yeah. If that sort of temperature, you want a breeze or you want a margarita. But anyway, but that's maybe not in the cards if you're at work or anything like that. You probably can't, you know, imbibe while you're on the job. I mean, I know I couldn't. I'm sitting behind a computer screen talking to children. Like Mr. Gray can't sit there with his whiskey, even though that would be. It'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I prefer whiskey at home.
Well, yes, but I mean, on a warm summer's day, there's something to be said for a little margarita action, a little umbrella in the drink. That'd be lovely, right? That'd be just first class right there. However, that's gonna have to wait. And up here, like that's not happening for weeks. We're still locked down until early June at this rate. So it's gonna be a long time before I get a chance to sit down on a patio with a nice cold fruity beverage and enjoy that. So anyway, although I do get vaccinated on Thursday, which is pretty exciting. Get vaccinated. Anyway, we're also joined on the line by the one and the only, the incomparable Feth. Feth, welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you. And thank you for having me.
Well, we're glad to bring you on. So for those of you who may or may not be aware, we talk very, very much about the Lotus Council, and Feth is one of the. What do you call yourselves? Are you the council? I guess, so to speak.
Well, like the Discord roles are just kind of like thematic as much as we can be. So we've just kind of assigned ourselves the High Council as the five of us, and then we've got our Moderation Council. So we've got it's everybody's part of the council from the mods down to the advisors. But us ourselves, the five of us up at the top, we are the High Council, mostly just for thematic reasons.
So there we go. So Feth is one of the members of the High Council of Lowe's Council, and one of the movers and shakers on board. So we're happy to have her on board tonight and talk a little bit about the actual Lotus Council itself. So just a reminder, folks, as a reminder, you can find all of our content on thelotuscouncil.com. So our podcast gets uploaded each and every week to the Lotus Council, in addition to everywhere else that it goes. If you also like other things, there are other fat features to thelotuscouncil.com, including, the Twitch stream, which I saw WoW playing with, playing on stream the other day. There's Paper EDH. There's... I think there was Box Breaks. Did I see that right?
Yes.
Box Breaks.
We've had one of our lovely members, Wherefore, also known as Liam. He's been very generous and has been letting us sell through him with his sealed inventory and giving our Discord the box breaks that you've been seeing him do if you follow our Twitch channel.
I have, and there's some very cool things that get cracked. And people come walk off with cool
very
stuff.
Very spicy recently. The last two box breaks have been very spicy.
Oh, nice. Also, folks, I cannot stress enough, the Discord itself is by far and away the key thing here. It's fantastic with lots of cool people who love to talk magic, who love to talk EDH. You can find Lux and myself hanging out there, chatting with everybody. Sometimes we pick an argument, you know? Sometimes we pick an argument about mass land destruction. You know, tell people you shouldn't do it. People get a little bent over my takes because, you know, I bring some opinions and I tell people that I don't like their mass land destruction. But
the mono green player doesn't like mass land destruction. That makes sense.
Hey, I'm not mono green. I just like my green cards. I like my Carnage Tyrants. It doesn't make me a bad person. I just like Carnage Tyrants because you can't counter it. There we go. Blue deck, get wrecked. get wrecked, blue deck.
Green is the way to go. Only the biggest boys.
Only the biggest boys.
I guess the best boys are in green, and that's where find us. All right, but yeah, so lots of cool stuff. Come on over to lowestcouncil.com and check it out for yourself. Tell them that Bruce and Lex sent you, and they'll treat you pretty nicely. That's a promise. All right, so we got four segments tonight. So we're going to do Garbage or Great first, open up, and then we'll have a segment with Beth. We're going to ask Beth some questions. Then we're going to have on some more rapid-fire stuff for Feff with some random thoughts on a bunch of topics, some of them being magic-related, some of them not being so magic-related. And then we have our little show-and-tell with Feff, where Feff is going to share a sweet brew that you guys are not going to want to miss. Ooh, you guys want to see this. So stick around to the end. But up first, we have our little Garbage or Great. So, Feff, are you familiar with how we play Garbage or Great?
Vaguely, yeah.
All right,
for the most part.
I go to Scryfall, I find a random card, and we have to decide if the card is garbage or if it is great. So, tonight's card is Dimir Guildmage, which is a 2/2 human wizard for Dimir hybrid. So, blue-black. And then it's got 3 and a blue. Target player draws a card, activates his ability only anytime you can cast a sorcery. And 3 and a black, target player discards a card, activate this ability only anytime you could cast a sorcery. So sorcery speed, draw or discard for a healthy chunk of mana. So, garbage or is this great? Oh, Lux, do you want to tackle Dimir Guildmage first? What do you think?
And honestly, I'm just gonna say it's garbage because of those abilities and they too much mana for just that one little effect.
All right, so you're hung up on the activated abilities being a little pricey to activate in order to really utilize them to full effect.
Yeah.
See. All right, I'll give my guess. I'll give her a guess. Dimir Guildmage, what do you think? Garbage or is this thing great?
I think it's garbage.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to. Okay, folks, this is not garbage. I'll tell you why. I'm gonna stick here for like 5 minutes and tell you why it's garbage. All right, so I don't care about the blue ability. The drawing cards is not a big thing. If you're playing Dimir, you've got other ways to draw cards. What you want this for is that discard, and the fact that you could repeatedly utilize this to make your opponents discard all their cards is significant. And because it doesn't require a tap to activate, you can use all those black mana doublers, like your Crypt Ghasts and your just all the ways that black has to double up on their swamps, and you're gonna get this is gonna go nuts, and you're gonna make your opponents burn so many cards. This is gonna force them to like play out a removal spell that they had probably planned on using on something better than this, because it's going to strip them of a bunch of cards. And they're going to be like, look, it's got to eat one or I'm going to be out of cards. And it won't take much. It really doesn't. And sure, yeah, you spend, you know, you spend a significant portion of your mana for a couple of turns to cripple somebody. But you're going to, if you go after one person's hand and you cripple it, they're going to be like, I'm now dead in the water. And that's like, we forget how important it is. Do you have cards in hand? If you can remove cards in hand from your opponents, you're going to be up a significant advantage, particularly when you staple this to a body where it just sits there on the board, and you can just do it to eat their hand. And it's going to be like, there's going to be decks that will want this. And there's a lot of payoffs for discard now. Like, you know, your waste knots and whatever else that are out kicking around. And you build this with some like other cards that lean heavily into discard, and your opponents are going to be like just like out of gas, and you're going to free reign to set up and do what you want to do. So I really big fan of Dimir Guildmage. Like, yeah, it doesn't go in every single deck. Like, if you're playing a Sultai deck, you're not going to put Dimir Guildmage in. But if you're playing a Dimir deck, let's be real. Dimir decks are going to want to strip your opponents of their cards, and this guy's going in almost every single time. Now, let's have a little look at EDH Rec, because let's go see what the larger community has to say about this little guy. Dimir Guildmage is in how many decks? Oop, survey says... Oh, the computer's still thinking. It's in 265 decks, so it's not very many, but I really do think this deck should probably get played more frequently. And looks like it definitely goes in Niv-Mizzet, so that's definitely a thing. So Niv-Mizzet, Lazav, Dimir, Mastermind, and Kenrith. Why are you putting this in Kenrith? I do not know, but anyway.
Political. Anyway, it's a very political card, actually.
It's true. No, I suppose you're right. It is very political, and which is Ken Kenrith is a very political manner. Anyway. So yeah, no, I'm a big fan. So Lux, anything else you want to say?
And I was just gonna say, it is a good late game card, but for the amount of mana that you're gonna be expecting it to be an early game card, but it's not
right.
In order for it to pop off, you're basically gonna have to have the right setup, and that's only gonna be in the late game.
Well, I mean, so early, if you do resolve it early, you don't use it too frequently. That's fine. It now has threats of activation. Your opponents are going to need to really prioritize if, like, do I let this thing stick around and run the risk of it running me out of cards at some point if you do hit your mana doublers, or do they take it off the battlefield and use some removal that would be earmarked for something better, like your commander maybe? I don't know. I'm pretty okay with using uncommons like this as with these sort of repeatable abilities as lightning rods to just soak up removal, because your opponents are only going to have so much of their premium removal to sack and to spend on this thing.
And you're going to be able to planeswalker.
Which planeswalker does it remind you of?
I just in general, honestly, like the fact of when you said that, like if it just sits there and it doesn't, you know, like you said, it's an unresolved threat essentially. And I feel like planeswalkers, especially in Commander, they're not that powerful because they can die so easily. But if they go unresolved, they are the biggest problem in certain decks. So, like, this card is essentially that. Like, you're talking about in the late game, it just goes nuts.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, that, yeah, you want to have a way come that late game to really slam the door. Well, there's nothing better way to slam the door than run your opponents out of cards. I mean, there may be one guy at the table you can't, but if you can find someone who's a soft target at the table with a smallish hand because they're the Naya deck that can't draw cards as easily, or the Boros deck is having a hard time keeping a grip, and you just target them and you just leave them dead in the water, well, you haven't they're not out of the game, but you've done a number of them, and they're seriously behind the eight ball. So I like this card. I think it's probably criminally underplayed as far as I can tell. You know, somewhere in the range of 8 to 10 cents. Like, this is the sort of budget card that I would gobble up on this podcast and put in my deck and just
like a sleeper.
Like a sleeper, yeah. You put in your deck and sure, if it dies at a board wipe or it dies in combat because you gotta block because you're gonna take infect or whatever, you don't care. But if you leave it there, it's good. I think this card is good. And I, as much as the effect seems a little underwhelming, I think you can do a lot of damage, and a lot of people are going to be not real excited if you can get this online. So, yeah. So, this is typical how it goes there, Fav. Lux and I have very different ideas about what makes a good card.
But that's what keeps it exciting.
That's true. And then we put our jank in together, and we jank together, and we go and do things like play discard decks and Commander like heathens, and people get mad at us.
I mean, that's this part. Don't you remember when I accidentally built a terrible mono black deck?
Well, I mean, those are always enjoyable. They're always enjoyable. I mean, Sona does it too. So.
Yeah.
Sona loves that Yargle deck. That Yargle
deck. I love that Yargle deck. It's wonderful.
Yeah, you're talking about me. And I'm the guy that used to play Jocko Hops for the simple reason of pulling a Gandhi whenever people mess with me.
Yeah, it's like a giggle. Like so, our professional griefer is here. So this is what Lux does. I want to play. I'm gonna play Jocklops. Damn it, Lux. Anyway,
it's better than so back
to basics. Yep, it is. So yeah, So Jameer Gilmage. So final verdict, Lux. Have I changed your opinion? Garbage or is it great?
And I guess you've changed my opinion. Like, I was mainly looking at the full playability of it.
Yes. Point, Bruce. All right, Fab, garbage or great?
I will agree with you on the fact that it is a sleeper card. It can definitely be good late game if it goes unresolved. So, kind of, I'm in the middle on it still.
Okay, I'll take that. Okay, I'll like.
You get half a point.
All right, I get half a point. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, all right.
Man, can't win them all.
That's fair. No, good point. Good stuff. All right, so that's our segment of Garbage or Greed. All right, now moving on to some questions all about Beth. So let's, Lux, you're up first. Fire away.
So, you know, like, let's start at the beginning. Like, how and when did you get into Magic?
Oh, boy. Okay, so I didn't start playing Magic until 2017. It was like before Dominaria where I really started to play.
So you're telling us that you've been playing for 4 years.
Almost, yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't seem like very long.
It's wow. Not.
Lux, do you feel old now?
Yeah, I'm 25, but she's older than me, and yet I feel older than her.
Like you're like Bambi. Like you got like you got like the wobbly legs still. Like you still anyway. Okay, so all right. So what was that? What was that set? What was your first set then? Ixalan? Rix?
The first fat pack that I ever actually bought was an Eldritch Moon fat pack. Ooh. The first standard set that I think came out that at least I remember, because when I picked up Arena, Ixalan and Dominaria were on Arena.
Right. Like
it was out of the open beta and all of that and everything. Or it was out of the beta, it was live. So it was about, I would consider Dominaria my first actual standard set of when I was actively playing Magic instead of just like learning how to play Magic.
Gotcha. Oh, well, Dominaria is a pretty good place to start. That was fun.
Yeah, that was 2018. Dominaria came out.
It most certainly was. I do recall. I went to the GP in Toronto, and that was among the my deck is terrible. GPs. I miss those. Those are fun. I would like to go to one of those again before, you know, the end of the world. But who knows? I mean, who knows what the world's coming to these days. But yeah, we went to GP Toronto. We were playing a Team Trios event. The audience has probably heard this before. But so my brother was playing a Modern deck. My other friend was playing a Legacy deck. Legacy Storm, that's probably worth more than like a Ferrari. The thing is absurd. And then I'm sitting there on this bad green-white tokens deck in Standard. In a format with Chain Whirler, the Goblin Chain Whirler. I'm like, oh no. I spent the whole day just getting demolished by Goblin Chain Whirlers and Teferi, Hero of Dominaria. I'm like, I brought the wrong deck to this. It was one of those decks that I saw Saffron Olive playing it. I'm like, oh, I want to do that. And I did it. And I brought it to a GP. And I'm like, oh no.
Oh no.
I just got demolished. I'm like, oh. This is awkward. Anyway, but yes. Oh dear. So yeah, Dominaria. Now, why? Who pointed you to Magic and said, go and check this out?
It's actually after I moved to Kentucky when I had gotten with my spouse. They were an active, avid Magic player who's been playing since Lorwyn, Morning Tide, that whole block. And for a while, when we first moved into our apartment, we didn't have internet. There was a whole long story about that. But this entire Magic. Kentucky, so. Well, yeah, but regardless, Kentucky nonsense aside, there's just this giant collection of Magic cards sitting in our apartment. And eventually it was just like, hey, do you want to sit down and learn how to play Magic? And I was like, yeah, why not? Sure, let's go. I don't think I'm going to do any well or I'm going to pick it up, but let's try it. And first deck that I ever picked up was a 40-card mono-white Kithkin deck.
Gross. Really?
It's mean. Yeah. Yeah, it's a deck that's specifically built to be played against 60 cards.
Well, yeah, it's 40 cards. It's like you condense it down to all the best stuff. But anyway.
Yeah, it's really? Evil.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'll take your word for it. I mean, all right. 60, all right. I don't know what to say, man, but all right. But you learn to play with stuff, and now you are the proud owner or proud head
part
honcho,
owner.
Part owner of a Discord and a website, and whoever thought 4 years, a lot can happen in 4 years. Good heavens.
It's crazy. Like, I went from just learning how to play Magic to, like, the five of us own a company together that is the Lotus Council, and we've just built this community, and it's wonderful. It's mind-blowing to think that we haven't even existed for a year yet.
July. It's July, isn't it?
Technically, I believe that it was August 11th when we went live. Our first Twitch stream, but we did open the Discord about a week earlier than that because there was a lot of anticipation due to everything that had gone on prior. All the hype and then all the, you know, surrounding it, the Twitter going live and the website sneak peek, and everybody was just like, these domain names are saved. Wait, there's a Twitch, there's a Facebook. Wait a minute, what's going on? Where is it?
Nice. Good deal. All right. So, what formats do you play?
I mostly play Commander because, honestly, like, it's the best format. Come on.
You're on a Commander podcast.
I know. It's the best. It's the best format. But I did learn how to play Modern. Like, when I first learned how to play, the 40-card deck was the first deck that I picked up, but I essentially learned around the rules of Modern deck building in that format. And the first deck that I built myself was a mono green good stuff, just stompy nonsense. I had Blister Pod, I had Rancor, and that was actually my first taste of Eldrazi, was Blister Pod, and I saw this little creature, and I was like, this is the best boy ever, and I just held him so close to my heart.
Blister Pod? Is that what set you off?
Yep, Blister Pod. That was in the first mono green deck that I built, and then when I finally worked up enough courage to agree to go to a Friday Night Magic Modern Night, I built a Jund mid-range Eldrazi deck, and I had taken that with me to Friday Night Magic, and I did pretty well. I think I went 4-2.
Wow.
For my first ever Friday, first and only. I've never been to another one since. But yeah.
Huh.
So I dabbled. Eldrazi. Yeah, Jund Eldrazi. I had Duststalker, Forerunner of Slaughter, goodness, whatever that shifting thing is. Man, I had so many ridiculous little Eldrazi's. I didn't have any Titans or anything at the time. It is little babies that I found in dollar bulk boxes. I was just like, I want this one, I want this one, I want this one.
Good news is they're still cheap. You can find most of those pretty cheap still.
Yeah.
I like Drowner of Hope. Big fan of Drowner, I hope.
Yes.
That's my friend. That's my friend.
It's a good one.
I like that one. It's kind of like big old pile of dirty. I like that one. So.
I mean, most of them are, to be honest.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, like Smothering Abomination is pretty cool too.
Yeah.
Oh, I do like that one too. That is a good one.
Eternal Scourge can do some nonsense, so he's fun.
Is that the one that can cast from style? You can cast from style?
Yep.
I don't know why I would do that, but that's because I'm forget stuff, so. Why would I do that again?
Shenanigans.
I guess. Shenanigans!
Yeah.
All right.
If you really want shenanigans, Void Winnower.
Oh, yeah.
You can't even.
That one's
you're talking nasty. To the
queen.
Come on. The queen.
Nobody
I
can even.
Void Winnower.
My children.
I like Oblivion Sower because I have been able to cast. I casted Ulamog Ceaseless Hunger and was able to get the attack trigger off of it. And then I followed up with an Oblivion Sower and like stole like a dozen land. And the guy just looked at me and was like, "You're the worst person ever." I'm like, "Nope, yes. I'm having fun. So, yeah.
I think I'm the best person ever. That's what matters.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, Lux, you ahead.
So, with you being the Eldrazi Queen, what would you say your favorite card is?
Oh, boy. This is going to throw you for a loop. My favorite card in the entirety of Magic the Gathering is Bitter Blossom.
I can bet behind that. That's a respectable choice. Bitter Blossom is good.
I have the Secret Lair version of it. I have the Ultimate Masters version of it. And I just picked up a foil Italian Morning Tide version of it.
Which one's your favorite of all of them?
Honestly, the foil Morning Tide one, because they're so rare and just so beautiful.
Yeah, I was gonna say the older style. Like, I'm not sure I like all the new fancy foiling on stuff. I like the older foiling stuff. And I mean, as much as Morning Tide isn't like old border foils, like it still looks better, I think, than.
Oh yeah, no, like, they're beautiful.
I'm a big fan. I can get behind that. Morning Tide,
Morning Tide, and all of those are just so beautiful. I have a DCI promo of Earwig Squad, and that is absolutely gorgeous. It's one of my favorite foils.
I gotta find Earwig Squad.
Yeah, that's another pet card. I love that card. I hate getting it played against me, but I love that card.
What does this do? Three black for a 5/3 prowl. When Earwig Squad enters the battlefield, if it's prowl cast, it's triggered upon the library for 3 cards. Oh!
Yeah, I have that in my rogue deck. It's a very good card.
That seems like, if you can do that for 3, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Do you know how easy it is to get a rogue to deal combat damage?
I've been playing standard, so yes.
Yeah, exactly. He's great.
So that's like Sadistic Sacrament on a creature. Because I love Sadistic Sacrament because I want to kick it. And I want to take 15 things out of your deck. Because I'm a
bastard. Yeah, of course.
Because that's what I want to do. It's in my deck that I play with, that is really just a big excuse for me to play Villainous Wealth. And I remember there was a deck that I was playing against the Exile and Villainous Wealth. I was like, oh no, what do I do? So I decided that my solution, my backup to play, if I can't have your win conditions, you can't have them either. So I'm going to Sadistic Sacrament people repeatedly.
There you go.
Because what else can you do?
And then exactly.
And it turns into a game of limited. So, anyway, all right. What card puts you on tilt the most?
Oh, God. Okay. I've actually been on a rant about this card for probably a week now because I played against it the other night when I actually finally got my setup back together. Yeah. Kaikar has given me PTSD.
Kaikar. I know the one. I'm familiar with Kaikar. Like, really? Yes. Interesting.
Yes. He can go absolutely insane.
Who built it?
Oh, it was Nupwari in our Discord. I can't remember how to pronounce his name, but I played with him and Mason and Pete the other night. And I believe he was the one that played Kaikar. And oh my goodness, it might have been Pete. If I can't really remember, but I know that it wasn't Alex. I have a really bad memory. It was like 3 a.m. when we were playing. But
it just whacked you upside the head.
It's horrifying. That he can pop off.
Excellent. I think these are all sounding good.
It's a great card. I have PTSD from playing against it. Like, if I see it, that's a bird that I'm gonna bolt. I don't care about any other bird.
It's that one. That bird's
it's
gotta
that
die.
That bird. Yeah, that bird has to die.
You know what? Bolt the bird doesn't mean kill the Kaikar. It means kill the birds of paradise. But okay, sure.
No, it means Kaikar because he's got three toughness. He's gonna die.
I got it.
He is a bird.
You tilt out to Kaikar. All right.
Yes.
I mean, there may be some recency bias there, but we'll accept this. This sounds
I
like
will
a
also, as a second answer, I will say back to basics because I refuse to put basic lands in any deck as much as I can. So, yeah. Back to basics kind of makes me tilt.
Yeah. No, that's fair. And then you get posed by back to basics. That's,
yep.
Yeah.
But as we all know, back to basics is what color? It is blue.
Blue.
Make blue players making everybody sad. Isn't that right, Nick? You're listening out there, aren't you now? Called out there.
Call him out.
Call him out. It's my show. I can do what I want. Anyway. All right. Go ahead.
Hey, where did the Lotus Castle get its genesis from?
Oh boy. Well, I mean, we all kind of knew each other from a previous channel. We had a lot of synergy working with each other. And there was a bit, just to be very basic about it, there was a rift.
We can be vague about that.
Yeah, I would like to be vague because I don't want to start any drama because there's no drama anymore. But there was a bit. Sure. And some stuff happened, and I had to leave a previous channel that I was a part of, and a couple of other people that were with me on that previous channel decided that we liked making content together so much that we wanted to keep doing it on our own with one another. So we just kind of put together the idea of the Lotus Council, and we didn't expect it to go anywhere that it has. It was just kind of like a thing. Hey, let's see where it goes. We're doing it for fun. And that's history. Everything from that point forward when we went live has just kind of been it.
That's cool. I have to say, that's pretty cool. I mean, like, you guys liked working together and collaborating, and all of a sudden, boom, there you go. Like, you've got the foundation for something else that's new and cool, and I think is, been a welcoming home to lots of people all over the Magic community. So I think that's been pretty fantastic so that you can have lots of great things for sure. So
it's been wonderful. And everybody that's right. Part of the community is great.
I will also agree. we're preaching to the choir here a little bit because I know like Lux and I are both involved in it too and are happy to be there and love to call it home. So question. What is the best part of the Lotus Council? Is it like the game? Is it the gameplay, or is it like the box breaks, or is it the trade channel, or is it the random other stuff that people post, or like the new Venom yummy memes that I'm gonna spam the channel with? Yummy.
I mean, the best part about it, I think, honestly, and I'm gonna sound so sappy here, is that like anytime I look at my phone, there's conversation going in like four different channels. And people are giving advice to somebody in one channel and people are talking out trades in another, and somebody's posting a meme in the Not Safe for Work channel that everybody's laughing. They're just going insane about, like, there's always something going on. And I think that that's the best part, is that there's always activity. There's people communicating with one another. We have people planning games like weeks in advance. It's just a very comfortable place to be. And it's nice to know that there are people that are brought together by our content and by our group, like Court and Sebastian, Sona and David. Like, they're all wonderful and we all have a part in that. And just seeing what the five of us have come together and just what's happened after that has just been wonderful. I think it's just looking at it like rewarding. That's the best part. Plus, like, all the friends that we've made is just something that I can't even begin to put on paper as how meaningful that is from this channel.
Cool. I'm we're getting preaching to the choir a bit here. Like, we're like, oh yeah, like, we're, I mean,
well, yeah, we I know, are. But yeah,
I
know. We might love loving having you there.
I figure we can just be the mouthpieces somewhere. Some point in time, Lil's cat, I figure you guys are gonna tap us and like, you boys need to be the mouthpieces. Let's be mouthpieces.
Yeah, it's, we all have had a lot of stuff go on. 2020 was a terrible year, and then just everything has kind of gone so full. No, it's been fine. I'm exaggerating. But thankfully, things seem to have calmed down for a lot of us, where we should be able to like do more things during our free time. And hopefully a part of that is actually getting onto the podcast more and doing more things like that and more streamed games and just, you know, getting out there, because that's important.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, because you remember, like, when we first started this, the pandemic hadn't even hit yet.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I know. It's crazy. Like, we started the podcast and the, there was no thought of it. And then all of a sudden, like, we started reading newspaper articles about stuff like GPs are being closed. People are getting sick. People put the bleach directly in your veins. And next thing you know, like, the whole world's covered in COVID. So,
ooh, COVID buzzkill.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let me drop.
Just seriously, right. Jones is back there. Like, come on, man, let me go. So, all right, next up.
Hey, what would you say is the hardest part of running and managing the Lotus Council?
Oh boy, a lot of it takes. It does take a lot of time out of our days to be consistent with recording and editing. Like, Sona has put so much time into editing videos. I can't even imagine how he does it with his kids and his job and everything. And then Court or Sebastian or myself spending hours streaming or opening boxes. And then we've got David, who's always answering judge questions when they come up in the Discord. Like, it takes time. And I think a lot of the hardest part is definitely feeling like we're not able to commit as much time as we might need. And feeling like sometimes we're falling short, and then we start to second guess ourselves and wonder, like, what are we doing wrong? What could we be doing better? Like, why are we not as good as this channel or that channel? But that's why it's good that we have the five of us instead of just like one person, because we have the other four of us to keep that one person in check. Like, hey, it's not anything that we're not doing. It's just we need to be, or it's anything that we're doing wrong. We just need to be doing other things. Or, hey, just, you know, things are hard right now. We gotta understand. People understand. Nobody's getting upset with us. It's not like people are like, hey, where's this video? Like, we have content out regularly. It's just we always feel like we're not doing enough.
I know how that feels. So, yeah. I understand how that feels.
Basic content creator problems.
Yeah, no, I can totally relate. Totally relate. That's the same feeling I've got. So,
and there's also like part of you also have to keep up an appearance, I guess. Like, so I don't know. I don't really act any different on Discord or on stream than I do in real life, minus having to censor myself a little bit more because I cuss quite a bit while I'm speaking naturally.
What?
I know, right? Like, me? Never. Shock. Never. But that's like just making sure, because you don't want to offend anybody. I personally don't want to offend anybody, and I talk without thinking, and I do that a lot, but I'm doing better about that. So there's always that worry, like, oh no, what did I do? Or am I going to do this wrong? Like, there's always that little voice in the back of your head that's telling you, you know, hey, be careful. Hey, be careful. Hey, do this. Hey, do that. And you're like, ah, the anxiety.
I get it.
Yeah.
All right. So where do you see the Lotus Council in like 12 months time?
Well, thankfully, we've been on a very good upswing Like our Twitch is doing really well. We have viewers all the time. I hope that maybe we can hit another sub milestone on YouTube by a year from now. I think we hit 100 already this year before 12 months, which is awesome. Like, high five to us. That's cool. Let's keep it going. Maybe 500 would be nice. Like, I don't want to overshoot. I don't want to estimate. Like, I don't want to set goals that are unrealistic. But like, a bigger Discord with more people being active is something that we all constantly desire, because we do have a lively Discord. It's just a lot of the people are the same people, and we love them. Because we want to bring more people in and share our community and our content with everybody, because at the base of it, that's what the Lotus Council was. It was just a community built for players and content creators to come together and just talk about our interests, about our love for Magic and other trading card games that we now have channels for in our Discord. Just hang out and get to know each other and play some EDH or whatever arena. Like, just, that's kind of it. We just want to get bigger and share what we have with more people.
Yeah. I'm a fan. I would also like more people to come to the Discord, because then they get like direct access to the podcast directly in their ear holes. Right?
Yes, because y'all have your own dedicated Epic Experiment channel for your posts.
Darn straight we do. Darn
heck
straight.
Yeah.
And if anyone's from the Lowest Council listening, it gets posted there every week, so you can find
every
it.
Every week.
Oh, and so. I was going to mention that, like, a couple of days ago, I was at the card shop. There were a couple of guys that were actually listening to the podcast.
No way. That's
no
awesome.
Way. That's cool.
Yeah.
Did they make fun of you?
Yeah, they kind of made fun of the Garbage or Great section.
Naturally.
They always do, though. They do every week.
Yeah.
That's fine. Lux, to you, do you find yourself self-conscious listening to yourself on the podcast?
And honestly, sometimes it's actually weird hearing my own voice over the microphone.
Yeah, I'm afraid of that.
It feels super weird.
That's one thing.
I check it out every week.
Yeah, like the first time I listened to like episode one, like I was like, do I really sound like that?
Yeah, I mean, I said the same way. I'm like, oh my goodness. But anyway, no, I think it's weird to listen to myself talk, and I'm like, this is bizarre world. But anyway. All right, keep going here. Gotta get going.
And when you aren't playing Magic, what do you like to do?
Oh boy. I am an avid World of Warcraft player. So when I'm not doing anything Lotus Council related or anything like real life related, I am probably in Azeroth doing content there, whether it be dungeons or raid leading or just hanging out there. That's usually what I do.
Nice. I don't have time for anything other than Magic. So the fact that you find time to do anything else.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
Yeah, with two kids, it's amazing.
Two kids would be easy, man. I go look back when I had two kids, I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, but
so
once you have
time.
Two, it doesn't matter. Like, anything else over two is just, psh.
It's a gong show. It's a gong show. And let me assure you, twins is worse. But anyway.
No, I've got
that's a whole And now, apparently, we're getting a dog. So, that's a, there
boy.
We go.
Yeah,
oh,
I don't
boy.
Have kids.
Lux, if I were you, keep it that way for a bit.
Yeah, they're wonderful, but they're also like extremely life changing.
That's the word for it. Yeah, life changing is right.
It's a good word. Ooh. It's a good word.
Yeah. All right, Ed. What is the coolest place you've ever visited or would like to visit?
Okay, so I haven't really visited any really cool places. Because I'm boring, but I guess the coolest place that I would have been would probably be whatever cave system there was back when I was like 12, and we went to Lake George, and we just got to go through this big old cave system, go down where there were no lights, and we just walk, and there was a river. It was just really cool. That was probably like the coolest thing that I've ever done, because I really don't have that exciting of a life other than moving from New York to Kentucky.
You know there's like caves in Kentucky you can go skiing.
Yes, Mammoth Cave. I have a plan to go there one day.
When COVID goes away.
Yes, of course. They're doing COVID safe things. I did look into it, but it's just not worth it at all, especially with two littles to drive that entire trip there, because it would be a whole day to get there. Like, it's not worth just driving.
How long is it? How far is it from where you are?
Let me double check, because I know it's at least 3 hours from where I am, but I don't know exactly. Hang on one second.
Because I look at the states, and like I live in Canada, so like our provinces, with the exception of some of the ones in the Maritimes, are monstrous. And
it's only about 2.5 hours out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's still a big day. It's a big day, but I get it. With kids, like, it's a big day, and would they actually? How much would they enjoy it?
Exactly. Yeah, they would have to be older. It would be better to just go to the zoo.
Yeah. All right. We'll move on to segment three now. So segment three, we have some rapid fire stuff. Just some fire some thoughts at you and see what you do. All right. So, what are your thoughts on return to in-person play? Right, Wizards of the Coast posted May 28th. Game stores can start holding sanctioned events again. Thoughts? Too early? Not early enough?
I definitely feel personally that it's a little too early. But like, all the power to the people that want to go do it. I'm not going to go do it. If I do, I'm going to wear my mask, even though I had my first round of my vaccine and I have my second one scheduled for next month. I'm still going to wear my mask in Walmart or when I go out. Like, I'm not comfortable enough, even with having the vaccine, to just go out without a mask.
That sounds very reasonable. Lux, you get the next one.
Really? Come on. Why?
All right, I'll do it. I'll be fine. Right. If you're going to buy, I'll do it. Okay, does pineapple go on pizza?
Yes.
All right. So, all right, Lux, if you don't want to ask, I'll ask. So Feff, does pineapple belong on pizza?
Yes. I will die on this hill.
Then I like you it. And I could die together. We can die, yes. We can die on this hill. We can die on the hill of pizza with pineapple.
So basically, you ride together, you die together.
Hell yeah, ride or die.
Okay, I'm okay with that. I will die with a smile on my face because I'll have pineapple on my pizza in my hand as I drive over the cliff. It's fine.
Yes, totally let's okay. go. Totally fine.
Okay, right there. All right, Lux, you're up next.
Well, I don't know exactly what it is, but what are your thoughts on Putin?
Oh my god, it's the best thing ever. How do you not know what it is?
You don't know what a poutine is?
Like, I have never even heard of it before.
You've been doing a podcast with Bruce for over a year now, and you have not once discussed poutine?
No, he never mentioned it.
So poutine is French fries, and then you pour this delicious gravy over top of it, and cheese curd. And the cheese curd melts onto the fries, and it's like just the best it's thing heaven. Ever.
It it's heaven delicious. On a plate in a bowl, however you eat it. It's the best.
And oh my goodness.
It has to be brown gravy.
Yeah, it's like a brown beef gravy, and like Quebec does it fantastically. They if you want to find the best like poutine going, you go to like deep Quebec and these little casse-croûtes. And the people there will serve you the best poutine ever. And,
just make it because I'm not in Canada, so I just have to make do with what I've got.
I know, it's so sad we have to put like shredded cheese on top.
It really is. It's so sad.
Not the same. All right. But so, Lux, when you come to Canada to play Magic with me, we'll get you some poutine, my friend.
All right.
Deal?
Yep.
So, okay. Cultural exchange here. What is a Texas dish that I would not know about? If you can think on that one, but
yeah,
you have to think about that one. All right. All right, Lux, go ahead. Oh, so this is me, I guess. So what are your quick thoughts on changes to competitive play where like the MPL, Like some people are really disappointed that the MPL and the Rivals League are going to be discontinued. Like, any thoughts? Feel strongly?
I mean, it personally, it doesn't affect me either way. So my opinion on it really isn't strong one way or another. But as somebody from the outside, I think that it may end up being an overall healthy change to Magic. And I'm hoping that that's what it does. I do definitely feel for the people whose lives have been actually affected, like, severely by the changes that have happened. Yeah. And, of course, like, it's not their fault, and this, like, none of them deserved any of that. But I do hope that, you know, overall, that people can still recover from it and that it does not drastically change Magic in a negative tone.
Sounds good. Sounds good. I like that thought. All right, we'll keep going.
And what are your thoughts on dead music genres?
I mean, if you're looking at the show notes and you're referring to that one, I'm not personally a fan.
That's fair. That's fair. No.
It's disco. It's disco, by the way.
Yeah. Thoughts on Nickelback?
All right. Honestly, I've liked Nickelback forever. It's fun to make fun of them because Chad Kroeger's hair looks like dry ramen noodles. Like, not dry ramen noodles, but like cooked and then dried ramen noodles. And that's okay because his voice is amazing and they have really catchy music. And as fun of a meme as it is to make fun of them, they have really good music.
They also do a really kicking live show. Like, they go full out. Like, it's a rock concert, man. It's got the pyro. Like, they do a really kicking rock show.
Yeah, they've got,
like,
very good stage presence.
So, I mean, I know they get dumped on, and, like, it's in our laws that we have to support Nickelback because Canadian content laws. But anyway, right. I'm kind of like my guilty pleasure. I'm like, yeah, put some.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Like I said, it's fun to meme them, but at the end of the day, like, yeah, I do listen to Nickelback on a serious note, and I will belt those words.
Nice. All right. Is it Dex? Are you in? Are you out?
I am in. I have a few.
Oh, no.
I know.
You're not going to come play green with us over here?
I have plenty. No, I don't have plenty of green decks. I'm building. Eventually, I'm going to be building Chulainn. So that's another green deck. Who?
And build a Luna.
A Luna? Oh, my goodness. I have many decks planned to build. I don't even want to add any more to the list right now. It's overwhelming.
I understand. I've got Maha over there that I'm ready to get going. I'm like, Maha tokens. That sounds like fun. Anyway, yes. Oh, dear.
All for more Izzet decks.
I'm not an Izzet deck guy myself. But pretty well documented.
Yeah.
Once I finally get Belladross, I'm going to build around him.
Naturally.
What? You're not putting them in Nethroi? Come on. Belladross goes with Nethroi. They're buddies. Who doesn't want a flying death touch, like, kitty dragon that poops out tokens? Come on.
Yeah.
You know you want to. You're thinking about it now.
I'm thinking about it.
And you're thinking about Magical Christmas Land where you put, like, the Della Belladros and you can mutate the Nethroi onto it. And then, like,
oh my God,
you bring back all the things and you make all the tokens and the flying kitty. And, yeah.
Yeah. That's what okay, Emperor Palpatine.
good.
Hey, so, all right, fair enough. All right, next.
Which do you prefer, Ultra Pro or Dragon Shield Sleeves?
Okay, I'm very torn on this because Ultra Pro sleeves out of the box shuffle very nicely and sit very nicely, but I don't find as much joy and excitement as I do looking at them as I do from Dragon Shield because they're just so pretty and they do feel so much nicer, but shuffling them right out of the box is a nightmare for me. Like, I can't keep them in a pile. They just fall all over the place and it's just awful. I'm constantly playing 100 card pickup.
Yes, it's definitely a problem.
But I just bought a whole bunch of the new Dragon Shield pink matte diamond sleeves because they're pink and they have sparkles on them, and I need them for at least three of my decks so that I don't have to switch cards in and out of them anymore out of different sleeves.
Ah, yes.
I finally just caved.
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, no, I think we're all moving that way. Particularly with the price of cards, like things that you want to play are just keep spiking. It's boy.
You're telling me my Eldrazi are over like $50 each now. I can't do that.
Willemog the Ceaseless Hunger is like 90. It's like
Azalek Butcher of Truth is 85. It's insane. They're like, so insane. Expensive.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. They,
all right.
Was one card I was using in one of my decks. Like it was a Slizian deck. I had to remove it, and you know exactly which card I'm talking about.
Is that the Parallel Lives?
Yep.
That thing's expensive too. It's like $65 or something. It's like,
I'm not even sure if I want to play it anymore. Like, I want to preserve the value of it now.
Do you guys want to hear something absolutely ridiculous about Parallel Lives?
Mm.
Yes.
Back when it was in Standard, my spouse had found it in a dollar bulk box and picked up a playset for $1 each. $1 per card, rather. But yeah, so we ended up.
God!
Yeah! Yeah, it has been a wonderful time.
Oh my god.
I traded one to Court for a doubling season because at the time they were like even in value and I didn't have a doubling season and he didn't have a Parallel Lives and I was just like, hey. So we traded. And that was neat.
You see, I'm okay with that trade because like you're getting utility, he's getting utility, everybody wins.
Exactly. Like the card's the same card, they were the same price, it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, yes, the price value difference today, but like I think that trade is legit. Like if you might kick yourself, like it's not like buy listing Snapcasters back to the store for $6 a Snapcaster. That feels bad. Oh, I did that. I'm an idiot.
Yeah. I mean, if it tells you how much I didn't care to do that trade, I had won I think you remember, I won that borderless box topper Jace the Mind Sculptor foil from Double Masters. Do you remember when I won that right before Christmas?
I do, yes.
I gave that to Court for a Christmas present.
Oh, very nice. That's a nice Christmas present.
Yeah, I wasn't going to use it. He's just going to sit in my binder, and I'm like, I feel bad keeping this card. I don't want to sell him because he's so expensive. Like, it's a ridiculous. Yeah. He was $150 when I pulled him. It's like, oh, no one's going to pay that.
Yeah.
So,
no,
Merry Christmas to one of my best friends.
There we go. All right.
Yeah, like,
breakfast. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, about Parallel Lives, I remember, it was, several episodes back, but we were doing one of our annual giveaways, and I was going to add Parallel Lives to the gift pile.
I remember Bruce that.
Bruce managed to talk me out of it.
And yeah, now I'm glad
he did.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, not that I wouldn't want you to give away your expensive card, but, there comes a point when you're like, that's an expensive card.
Yeah.
You got to keep the lights on somehow. It's like, so sometimes you got to keep that card and sell it later. So anyway,
it's like Dockside Extortionist.
Right. Oh, $50 a card. So brutal. Oh, it's I don't insane. Even own one. I'm like, I can't afford one. So anyway,
your printer, you have a printer, right?
Yeah. It's sitting here looking at me. So I make it do that. So
make it go burr.
Make it go burr. Jeez. All right, and then, so thoughts, breakfast or supper?
100%. Absolutely. Love it.
Nice. Supper for breakfast.
Yes, I will 100% eat a pot roast, leftover pot roast for breakfast.
Oh, you're a heathen. It's great. I love it.
I really am.
And I have a cheeseburger for breakfast once.
For sure. Leftover pizza? Breakfast of champions. Come on.
I love pizza. Now, do you warm it up for breakfast?
No, absolutely not.
Good choice.
Why would you?
There we go. Heat is optional the best of times, right?
Yeah. Pizza's fine cold.
All right. And the new Venom movie. You in?
I want to see it, yeah. Definitely.
I just want to hear Venom say, yummy. All the time. That's all.
All the time.
And speaking of movies, did anyone catch the new trailer for the Snake Eyes movie?
No.
No. Was that good?
Yeah, it's cool? On YouTube right now.
Ooh.
Ooh, I'll have to go check it out when we're done here. Love me a new Snake Eyes movie. That sounds fun. All right. So segment 4, show and tell with Faf. It's running late.
Boy.
So Faf, we've got ourselves a little show and tell. So Faf brought along something spicy. And so Faf is the queen of Eldrazi. And so she brought herself a very special Eldrazi brew. Talk us through your deck here, Faf. And for the audience, if you guys want to follow along at home, the link's going to be in the show notes. So you can pull it up and have yourself a look.
Okay, so I remember before the show started, you had mentioned not understanding how I'm only running 35 lands in the deck.
Yes, I don't understand. So let's count the number of gigantic Eldrazi this deck packs. All right.
Yeah,
so,
let's go through it piece by piece. I feel like it's going to be more fun to do that with the deck than just kind of ruin it all at once.
Yeah. So you got okay. Let's start with your creatures because that's sort of like the bread and butter here. So what do we got? Let's start with your commander. Who's your commander?
The commander of the deck is Rakdos, Lord of Riots. The big 6/6 demon boy.
Yeah. Okay. So, let's see. You can't cast Rakdos, Lord of Riots, unless an opponent lost life this turn. Flying and trample, and creature spells you cast cost one less to cast for each one life your opponents have lost this turn.
Have you figured it out now?
Well, I can sort of like see like the it's coming together. So I'm looking at that. I'm like, okay, a cost reduction mechanic allows me to cast creatures. Let's go check out all the scary Eldrazi in the creature pile. So I see Desolation Twin. I see Dread Defiler. I see Emrakul the Promised. And I see Endbringer. I see Endless One. I see Kozilek. I see some Ulamogs and a Void Winnower. So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I have every Titan except for the banned Emrakul in this deck.
Yeah. So you're looking to cast yourself some very large Eldrazi.
Mm-hmm. For little to no cost.
No cost? Can you do that?
Okay. Spoiler. I've only played this deck 3 times now because I had to rush put it together because I got hey, come play Magic tonight. And I was like, oh god, I don't have the rest of my cards yet. So I made my printer go burr and I printed out the rest of the cards and I just put it together. The first game that I played it did exactly what it needed to do. And on turn 5, I had cast an Ulamog the Infinite Gyre for 1 mana.
I'm speechless because that is absurd.
Yep, that's exactly the point of the deck, is to be able to cast Eldrazi-like Ulamog for that normally cost 11 mana for 1 or no mana with as much damage as I can do to people before I cast them.
Oh god. Lox, are you scared yet? Are you scared?
Honestly, you'll have to do more to scare me.
Oh, well, sorry, professional griefer over there.
That's okay. All right.
Look, keep going. Scare Lux. Find some more ways to scare him. What else could we do to scare him?
I mean, that's really the point of the deck. Like, it definitely has a big downfall. Whereas, if Rakdos isn't out, I can't do anything, really. I mean, I can. It just kind of doesn't work as well. But the point of the deck is to get Rakdos out as quick as possible through the use of pingers or any kind of like lightning bolt. If I need to use lightning bolt, I'll use it, but like, I don't want to use that. That's why we have like Spear Spewer and Thermal Alchemist, Nettle Drone, things like that that come into play, and I can tap them and ping people for 1 damage. And if I'm playing in a 4-player pod, that's 3 damage off of 1 creature pinging.
I was just reading Twilight Prophet and that's gross.
He is, I don't have one of him yet. I'm getting one. I wouldn't put this deck together with him in it if I didn't own one, if I wasn't planning on getting him. But he's just so expensive right now. But he is just a huge piece of this deck.
That's disgusting. Because you flip over one Eldrazi off the top of the deck and think your opponent's just,
For anybody like unfamiliar with Twilight Prophet, he's a 2/4 for 2 black and 2 with flying and ascend. And at the beginning of your upkeep, if you have the City's Blessing, reveal the top card of your library and put it into your hand. Each opponent loses X life and you gain X life, where X is that card's converted mana cost. He works really, really nicely with the Exquisite Blood and Sanguine Bond combo that I have in there, as well as the Wound Reflection enchantment that's just evil.
Yep. That's all evil. All bad. Oh, good, but bad. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's very good, but very bad. Like, it's good for me, it's bad for everybody else. But yeah. And then you've got, where is he? Sower of Discord, where whenever damage is dealt, or you choose two players when it enters the battlefield, and then whenever damage is dealt to one of the chosen players, the other chosen player also loses that much life.
Oh my.
Yeah, there's this deck, honestly, when I can't take credit for all of it. I didn't build it by myself. Mason and I, he messaged me one day because I told him that I really needed to build an Eldrazi deck, because I had mentioned in Discord, I've not built an Eldrazi commander deck yet, a couple of months ago. I think you were there and you called me out. You're like, what? So we were messaging and he was like, I low-key want this deck to be the most disgusting thing that we can come up with. And I was just like, you've read my mind, let's go. So I ended up, we got however many Eldrazi I had together, and I was missing a couple of Titans. So I ended up making a really, really good trade for the rest of the Titans and the Void Winnower that I was missing. And then I just kind of, we figured out the best kind of way to go about it. We had to figure out a commander that would benefit us the best. And Rakdos was like, he's just our shining light in the darkness. And it's just,
yep.
Look at him. He's perfect.
No, it's absolutely the case. Like, whoa. And then, so, going through it, so lots of scary Eldrazi, some other fun creatures. Anger slips in, because anger is a giggle, with like having hasty things. I really like the Endbringer. I'm not going to lie, I think that card is chronically underplayed, because I think that card is just a very useful Swiss Army knife that can do a little bit of everything.
Thank you. I agree. He's one of my cards that I believe is extremely underrated and underplayed. He is such a solid card.
Yeah. Spawn of Mayhem.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised at the Stormfist Crusader, but, you know, hey, that seems like fun to me.
I will explain that.
I guess I can see it. I mean, if you're looking to ping your opponents, he's going to do it every turn. And 2 mana, nice and cheap. Like, it's just a little surprised that made the deck. But I mean, I get it. I mean, it works really well if you're gonna get, you know, you're gonna get your Rakdos online.
Right. If I was focused more on things with flash, and casting things on other people's turns, no, Stormfist Crusader would 100% not have been in this deck. But because I need to focus on people losing life on my turn to do what I need to do, that is exactly why that card's in this deck.
Yeah, no, for sure. You put it on the battlefield and it triggers, and there you cast your Rakdos, and then, you know, the cost reduction mechanic starts being online, and that's exactly what you need.
Exactly.
And then, you know, your mana ramp, all your artifacts, with the exception of Shadow Sphere, are just ramp pieces, which makes sense. Big fan of the Forsaken Monument. I think that one is a huge boon, too, because it's going to make your things like your Reliquary Tower, your Eldrazi Temple tap for even more than they do normally. So,
yes.
Seems good. Your sorcery
guiltless
package
commons too actually gets really nice from that, because that taps for 3.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What set is that from?
That was from Commander Legends, and ooh. I was honestly, that was probably the one card out of that set that I was the most excited about, was a colorless bounce land.
For sure. That makes good sense to me. Your sorcery package seems strong. I mean, Feed the Swarm is, to me, the highlight there. And Fiery Confluence, because that's always a good card. That's always like a real treat. I like Light at the Stage. I'm always astonished at the price of Night's Whisper.
Right? It's just insane. It keeps going up. It was like $6 when I started building this deck.
It really shouldn't be, but anyway.
No, but it needs to be reprinted, and it won't be.
Yep. Nope. Read the Bones. I love Read the Bones. Sign of Blood. Vandal Blast. These are all good things. And, of course, the hidden hiding Torment of Hellfire in the list there.
Yeah, it's got to be in there. I didn't even realize it was that expensive and like already. Holy crap.
Hate that card.
I hated it too. I got it played against me like 5 times and then I finally said, screw it, I need one.
Yeah, no, for sure. Your instant sorcery package, all removal, like pretty much without exception, is all removal cards. And you have a pair of Planeswalkers, more just Chandras, because they do damage on your turn.
And, yes, essentially.
And like they both have card draw capacity if you need it, so there's some of that.
Yeah. Torch of Defiance gives me mana, so does Heart of Fire if I do get to ult her, which is awesome.
Yep. No, all good. So, no, I like this, and I can see now why. With 35 land, you can get away with playing all these big, scary Eldrazi, because you know, your ramp package is strong, the ability on Rakdos to make this cheaper is real, and is matters a lot. I think your opponents are going to cry. I don't want to play this. Like, I kind of low-key do, but I kind of don't.
I forgot to mention that after I turn 5 Ulamogged, he was promptly Path to Exiled.
Oh.
I forgot to mention that. Yeah, he did what he needed to do and then died shortly after, or was exiled shortly after.
Well, yes, but see, that's the thing, right? They get rid of the first one, but hopefully, like, eventually, they don't have a way to kill all of them.
The Void Winnower came out next, and then everybody groaned.
Yeah, because there's a lock piece, and now I'm like, now half our deck doesn't work. Hopefully the removal in my hand does. Oh, it doesn't. Never mind.
Oh, darn. Yeah.
Let me tell you, Mogis, that card makes me nervous.
Okay, Mogis is probably one of the most important pieces in this deck, and it's because he is indestructible and just evil.
Does the same thing.
Mogis is pleased by this deck. If anything, he belongs here.
Yeah, he's one of those cards that can actually shut down what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's going to make your creatures all go away.
Plus, my Eldrazi, some of them do double as mill protection, which is just absolutely wonderful.
It is true. All those Titans from Rise of the Eldrazi have the shuffle trigger, so they get to shuffle things back in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so the price tag on altogether is not cheap. Let's be honest, folks.
It's not. Yeah,
we're a budget friendly cast. This was a little less budget friendly, so $830 odd.
Yeah, it's mostly because the Titans spiked. Like,
yeah,
if they weren't so expensive, this deck would literally be like $200 cheaper, or some ridiculous, even more than that. But they're just so expensive.
Indeed, they are. Anyway, but it's a cool deck there, folks. If you want to check it out, the list is going to be down below in the show notes. You can by all means check it out. Maybe you have the pieces to kick it around to try it too. I think you're going to have a good time with this one. I think Lux and I both saw this and we just sort of like our mouths just gaped open. We're like, what are we looking at?
Yeah, it's definitely, until you look at the commander, because I know Architect kind of sometimes makes things look weird depending on what you're looking at it on. If you don't see the commander first, the deck literally makes no sense.
Yep, pretty much.
You're just pretty like, much. Okay, there's a lot of Eldrazi, it's not tribal.
I'm just glad that you're not running Winter Orb.
Oh, no.
Winter Orb?
I'm not that mean.
Speaking of tilting cards, like that is my tilt card right there.
Yeah, that would do it. Okay, any last words, or should we move to wrap up the show?
I don't have anything else.
Well, Faf, you?
No, that's the only thing that I do want to say is anybody that notices the Faithless looting that's in my deck, I do have that version and I am collecting it and I am buying them.
you can have them all. They're hideous.
Oh, I love them. Give me them.
I want the Plunder. So I'll trade you all the Faithless Lootings for all the Chaos Warps.
No.
The Chaos Warp is beautiful. I love that.
It's gorgeous, but it's that no.
And I've already given you my sacrifice.
Yeah. I'm getting more. I have a couple on the way from Liam, actually. He opened a couple of boxes and I was just like, hey, I'm gonna take those from you. Thanks.
Yoink. No, I don't like the miss. I don't like that. I don't like that Faithless looting. I think that's
But then I saw it in person and I was like, I actually need every single one of these.
Fair enough. No, I really like the Chaos Warp. I think the Chaos Warp is beautiful.
Yeah. Doomblade looks absolutely gorgeous.
Oh yeah? That's Doomblade.
I think it's neat. It's not as cool as like the full art one that I was desired. I desired that card for this deck specifically. I wanted the full art one, the textless one, but I didn't get it. And then I ended up pulling this Doomblade out of a pack of
Strixhaven.
I was like, hey, that is lucky. And I just put it right in the deck.
That sounds good. I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, but you know what, Bruce? And the card I got from Theft and the Dina Soulsteeper. Imagine me sacrificing a creature that had the Hydra's Growth and Calcification on it, and I sacrificed that creature.
Well, gross. I'm just crying. Because you also go to the Rogue's Passage, and I'm just going to die. So
yeah. Oh, I played a game of Magic, and my spouse had a 1,000 Calamax out on the battlefield.
Oh!
It was terrifying.
That's a thing.
Yeah, it was a thing.
Now it does get tapped down, but
that's died.
Yeah,
it died.
Good. Wow, terrifying. Yeah. All right, let's move to wrap this one up and put it to bed. So that's going to wrap up this week's show. Thanks very much to Feff for joining us this week. Now, Feff, if people wanted to reach out to you, let's say they wanted to ask more questions about the Lotus Council, or they wanted to ask you about this week's deck. How could people get a hold of you? What's the best way?
On the About page on the website, I believe that we all have little Twitter buttons underneath our pictures or our little About sections. That will link you to my Twitter page. You can get in touch with me on there or on Discord. I'm in the Discord, and all of the notifications in the server get pinged to my phone, and I won't miss anything, so you can probably find me there, too.
Whew. I'm sure your phone's binging off the hook, then. All right.
Yeah.
All day. All right, all day. Thank God. If you liked what you heard today, you can always reach out to us. You can find us on Twitter at the Epic EXP Cast. That is our Twitter handle. You can email us at the Epic Experiment Podcast at gmail.com. Both of those are going to be in the show notes down below if you want to reach out to us. If you like the deck, all of our decks get put up on Moxfield. Please look under the username the Epic Experiment Podcast. So by all means, ask a question, leave a comment, like, follow, subscribe. Every little bit helps. Whatever platform you're on, every little bit helps to get the word out there that we are here each and every week talking Commander with you guys. We'd love to hear from you. So next week we're going to be, I think we may. Be fortunate, there might be some. We'll talk about that. If not, we'll look at, because that's what we do here on the podcast. But that that's for next week. Until everybody, take care. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.